and all the other stuff. Well, we're the ones that create that. It doesn't have, you don't have to have all of that. You pick out the little kids in your family, and those are the ones you shop for. And once you become an adult, you don't need anything.
I tell my wife every year, I do not need a single thing. I have a credit card. You have a credit card. We both have debit cards. They're linked to the same account. You do not have to go out and buy me anything.
Really don't need? Well, think about it. What do you really need? So,
well, you know, and so we have this philosophical battle every year. How many gifts we're going to give our sons? And my sons are now at this age where just give us a couple of nice things. You don't need to. That's it.
You're exactly right.
A couple of nice things. You know, my wife thinks that quantity equals quality, and we go through this every year. But I think she's starting to see the light, Larry Johnson.
Saddest part of Christmas is around 11:20 on Christmas morning when gifts are broken and toys and couples are fighting because the husband didn't get what he wanted and she didn't get what she wanted. And it's sad. It doesn't have to be that way.
And the three dirtiest words in the English language are some assembly required.
Oh, gosh.
And the second two dirtiest words are battery. Oh, that's three more. Batteries not included.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're beyond all that, Larry Johnson, and I'm looking forward to December 25.
Meanwhile, I want to win in Miami tomorrow. That would be a nice Christmas
gift. That would be your Christmas gift for this 2018 holiday season. Well, if you look at what the Patriots have done, the best team in football for the last 20 or so years, by far the dominant squad in the AFC East, it is hard to believe, but we know all too well that the Pats don't normally play that well down in South Florida for whatever reason.
It's Brady, 7-9.
He's 7-9.
Yeah.
It's the only place he's under 500 in his career. They've won just once there in the last five, including last year's loss. And every year they seem to play Miami down there later. Makes sense. Have the Northeast team host the Florida team in the fall and then go down there later on when it's cold. But it hasn't worked out for the Patriots very well. Not because they can't win the division, but once in a while they will squander the opportunity to have that first round bye throughout the playoffs, the home field advantage, which usually, especially in the last 10 years or so, will foretell whether or not they're going to the Super Bowl. If they have to play the AFC Championship on the road over the last 10 years, they're not going to the Super Bowl. If they play at home, quite simply, most of the time, except for that Baltimore game in 2013-14, they are going to the Super Bowl.
What's sad about them is even when they're winning, and they won last week 24-10 over the Vikings, they leave you with it's not a feel-good win. They leave you with a lot of questions. This team this year has left us with a lot of questions, and one of them, I tell you the truth, I was absolutely shocked. There was a play last week when Gronk caught the ball, and he was about five.
Gronk. Oh, that's right. He still plays for the Patriots.
And he's about 5 inches from the first down marker, and a safety wrapped his arms around his waist and pushed him out of bounds. No first down. And I said to myself, the old Gronk would have just swiped him aside and gotten, or at least lunged forward and gotten the first down. So that one play really stuck in my head. It really bothered me that I didn't see that with him.
I think what you're doing is going through a transition, as a lot of Patriot fans are right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have this thought that where Gronk goes, so go the Pats. And I think you have to understand that while Brady is still the most important player, I don't think anybody's going to dispute that, I don't think Gronkowski anymore is the second most important player.
But here's the problem with the team, though. You list two of the most important players offensively on the team.
Right.
And both of them have no backups.
Dwayne Allen's hurt right now,
he's
right?
He's hurt.
Right.
Yeah. And Brady Hoyer?
What are you talking about? Brian Hoyer is your backup quarterback.
Okay, come on. They don't have any backups. So you're hoping that, not like Smith with the Redskins, you're hoping Brady continues to avoid injuries. I think he's been good of late with that. The other problem I have with the offense last week is they were woefully boring. These Michelle short runs, first down, second down, then they got a third and six or something, and of course they can't make it. I don't like the way they've been playing at all lately.
Well, I
very,
think,
very conservative.
Well, I think one man's conservative is another man's efficient. And
now, you're not going to be able to do that against everybody. Well, I'll tell you that right
well,
now.
Well, you think about the last couple games, same exact score, 24-10, and both tied at halftime, or around halftime it was tied. I think the Jets game was tied at halftime, right? They kicked the field goal right at the end. Minnesota got that field goal to tie it right before halftime. So carbon copy games, both 10-10, and Patriots scored two touchdowns in less than scintillating fashion in the second half of both those games. And they used the run mostly in the second half to dominate both those teams. Now, one was against a typically dreadful Jets team. The other one was against a team that plays very good defense.
Against the run.
Yeah, and we said this last week, and I certainly wasn't the only one. Kirk Cousins would have to prove to me that he could come into New England, and it's a big stage, even though it's a regular season game against non-conference opponents. Anytime you play New England, that was a nationally televised game. Buck and Aikman were there, and Kirk Cousins once again was nowhere near rising to the occasion.
The only thing that kills me with that discussion about, you say, oh, when the Patriots are playing at home, they're a guaranteed win and on the road. Listen, whether these teams like it or not, you're going to play eight games on the road, whether you like it or not. So you better build a team that can perform pretty well on the road as well. I mean, it's fine what you can do at home, but you got to play better than some of these teams have been playing on the road. I tell you the truth, I think Michelle has been okay. I don't go along with Maz saying he sucks and he blows. I don't think that. But for a guy his size, you ought to be damn fast. And he's just not that fast.
I think the Patriots as an offensive team are not one of the fleetest in the National Football League.
Right, listen. But while the guy they got rid of, Deion Lewis, I always liked. I always thought he could find the hole. I always thought he was one of those runners who could turn on the Jets.
Right.
Michelle is not that fast, and they just keep this business of short game. Run to the left, run to the right, get 2 or 3 yards. I can't tell you the number of times I should have written it down that they were faced with a third in at least 5 or 6, and of course. You know, your percentages are really low.
Right.
But playing that way.
Right. But I think what you're seeing, and we said this earlier, I used the word transition. Maybe it's more of a metamorphosis. Maybe right before our very eyes, we're seeing, how is that Slurpee, by the way? What are you drinking over there?
Water.
By the way, this is a tremendous, Drew, our guest producer here, he wasn't here last week and the week before. We're off to a roaring start because you don't have the hiccups today.
Why do you even bring it up?
I know. It's going to happen all of a sudden. That diaphragm's going to start fluttering
they
like crazy.
They ripped me on the morning show.
Yeah, you were featured. Oh, you were featured on the morning show. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny because...
Which is painful as anything, the hiccups. It's just awful.
You realize that we have the audio version of Big Brother is listening here, Larry. So everything we do, for some reason...
Joey's here already? I didn't see him.
We have there's a fascination with our show on Mutt and Callahan, for whatever reason. And I think we had, when we were punked a couple times on the phone, that was also featured.
Which one was that? When was that?
I'm not going to go into it. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And let's not encourage. I shouldn't even brought it up. Oh, he's coughing. Oh, no. Please don't. Please don't. Anyway, you have
the
water.
I like that show. I'm going to pop in here one day. Just
you're going to pop in like at 7 a.m. I can see you.
Yeah, I wake up to this show.
Oh, do you? That's how you wake up?
I really like
Talk about a rude awakening.
I like Jerry a lot. So
Anyway, so what? You don't like Mutt?
So good.
You talking about good. A backhanded like compliment. Yeah, I like Jerry a lot.
I made it clear.
Damning with faint praise.
I like Mutt at night. I really do.
Oh, so
I
there's
like him.
Oh, so
I like him with the Red Sox.
So what you're saying? You think he's like a fish out of water in the morning?
No, I like him. I just said like him.
You
better.
Love him, and you know what
I really like him at night.
Bill Burt. I think Bill Burt is the future of
Did
nighttime.
Did you give out his home number last
I
night?
I couldn't believe it. Bill Burt, after a very long absence, I would say at least a decade long absence. Dominating the nighttime airwaves on WEEI last night, much to my shock, dismay.
That's shocked to put somebody on.
I wasn't shocked and chagrined, though. I was delighted. I couldn't believe it because I was listening, as I always do, each and every afternoon. from 2 to 6, OMF. And then when they said Bill Burt was coming, I almost fell on the floor. This has got to be a mistake. Am I in some time warp? Have I returned like to 2006 or something?
It's a lot to come in here for 4 hours and do a solo show.
It believe really me, I did not envy him on a Friday night, but he did well. And, you know, we've sort of lampooned Bill's efforts in the past, and it's been a while, but he came back.
I'm not
very impressive. I thought he sounded good. No, I'm not kidding. I thought he sounded very good last night. It was good to hear him. So anyway, we've been talking about the Patriots, and I think this metamorphosis – are you convinced that the Patriots, if they do go deep into the playoffs this year, also known as a Super Bowl appearance, that it may be via a different offensive philosophy? Maybe they're going to pound that ball. The offensive line looks second straight week.
I think the one ace in the hole that they have now that they didn't have before, and he seems to be getting better every week, I know it, is Josh Gordon.
I can't believe it.
I just heard it.
Oh boy,
I think.
Are you trying to get back on the morning show?
Yeah,
is that what it is?
I think Josh Gordon really—he's big, got the speed to go down. I like Amendola a lot, but Josh Gordon can get down the field, and I think he's going to be a big difference for them.
Take a sip of water.
I got to get another bottle.
Drew, I think you're going to have to do some water duty for you. You're going to be a producer and a water boy for today.
Get a bottle and put a little something
in it.
Do
your best Adam Sandler impression.
Put a wine cooler in there. No, I like him a lot.
Do they still make wine coolers, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
You were a big Bartle and James fan, weren't you?
I love Bartle and James.
They had the greatest commercials of all time 30 years ago.
I love my intent on
you sound like Foster
my
Brooks,
intent
actually,
on drinking,
speaking of drinking.
My intent on drinking is never to get drunk or anything like that.
I just
like the taste of it.
You like the
very,
taste
very cold.
Of wine coolers?
Yeah, very cold.
If that was their best asset, it was cold?
And tasty.
Okay, but any product can be cold.
No,
just put it in the refrigerator.
No. Some of it you taste act like you're drinking turpentine.
All right. Right now, I think you need a nice gulp of water.
I don't have any water. I'll get some.
Hold your breath for the next 3 hours.
I think I'm allergic in here because I was fine.
I blame myself. I should never have brought it up. You know, they talk about the power of suggestion when someone says, I have to go to the bathroom, then suddenly you have to also go to the little boy's room. Well, I never should have brought it up. My bad. I take full responsibility for this.
Have you ever seen a game where the holder was late getting on the field?
That was bizarre, wasn't it?
That's when you knew you're watching a Twilight Zone game.
And Dan Bailey cooperated by hooking that 46-yard field goal attempt, I don't know, maybe about 50 feet wide left, something like that. That was really awful. That was the worst field goal attempt I've seen over there since. Who was the kid from Baltimore? After
squeeze him? No.
The year before Baltimore beat the Patriots in the AFC Championship game, they should have beaten them the year before. Remember Lee Evans dropped the pass?
Yeah.
Then they could have tied the game, and the kid comes on.
Hook left.
33-yard field goal to tie the game. 33 yards. He missed it by 33 yards.
Yeah, would you like fries with your order, sir?
Unbelievable.
But this is a strange season, and it's a war of attrition.
As it always is.
As it always is.
Right. Especially in the studio.
I still don't think he gets enough credit. Boy, that Trent Brown is a monster.
6'8",
left tackle.
6'8", what, 375?
I mean, when they send him out on sweeps and stuff, he just punishes people.
Right. You're punishing me right now.
I'm going to get some water.
Well,
you brought it
listeners.
Up. I was fine.
Yeah, so it's Mustard's fault. No, you were. You know, you sat here very quietly. You had your game face on.
I was holding my breath.
You were doing all your prep work, your due diligence, and as soon as that red light went on, the hiccups began.
I'll stop it.
Okay, please do.
It annoys the heck out of me.
Yes, and you know, you can multiply that by thousands. Listeners all across New England right now are trying to come up with a remedy.
They think it's funny.
They think it's funny.
I don't.
I don't either. So, what do you think? You know, it's funny. We know the Patriots cannot
I don't like the way they're running their offense right now. How's that?
All right.
The short game, 2 yards, second down, 3 yards, They're constantly faced with a third and five or six.
Yeah, they are in a position now.
I don't like it.
And they're in their third down efficiency, and I don't have it in front of me right now. I probably should have looked that up. It doesn't feel as if they're the same third down team we've seen mostly in the Tom Brady era. Would that be a fair assessment to make?
That's good.
Yeah, although the statistics may not bear that out. Speaking of that, and I thought it was an interesting piece, did you see Alex Spire's piece, our old buddy from WEEI.com? He loves numbers, and he was questioning the claim that the Patriots have essentially a free pass each and every year to the playoffs because they play in such a terrible division, the AFC East. And he looked at all the numbers, and he realized the Patriots average about 12 wins against the AFC teams. If he looks at it, they're complicated numbers. But basically what he's saying is, I'm trying to break this down and
this is brutal
sound
right
like,
now.
What is the hiccups
this,
or my...
No, this little segment you're doing right now.
What I'm trying to tell you is,
brutal.
I want you to read the article. And and the point is, and this is this.
If I read the article, will you stop talking?
If you read the article, would you stop hiccuping?
Yes.
Okay, that's all I care about. But the point being, Patriots usually do well against the AFC, but not so outstandingly better than other teams who've dominated other divisions. I highly recommend you look at the numbers and how he breaks it down empirically. My point is, for whatever reason, in spite of their usual dominance of the AFC East, they can't seem to get it together in the Brady era down there, particularly in the last 5 years. And as I said...
You think it's the temperature?
I think the temperature has a lot to do with
it. But why wouldn't you go down earlier?
Well, Brady talked about that. If you heard his news conference the other day, they've tried every possible way to acclimate themselves and assimilate themselves to the heat. They've gone down on Thursday. They've gone down on Friday. They've swooped in on Saturday. They've tried every possible way to figure out how to do this. Practice inside. Turn up the heat. And I think the heat is a factor with Brady. And I remember the very first year that Brady took over after the Bledsoe injury against the Jets. They beat the Colts at home. Then they went down to Miami, and he immediately laid an egg. So it's right from the very get-go, from the very first game that Tom Brady played as a starter way back in 2001, a Super Bowl winning year, he was terrible in Miami. And they've won seven times down there, 16 games, but it is a huge aberration. They don't have any problem in New York against the Jets, no big deal against in Buffalo. They know how to win against other teams, but they can't do it against Miami.
Well, they should do better today, tomorrow. Miami's top cornerback, Howard, is out.
And that makes a big difference.
For the game.
Right.
He's
so
out.
You wonder, and this goes back to what we're saying, are they transforming from a passing team to a running team?
Which I don't mind if you have the running backs to do that.
All right. But they did
it. I like White as a third down back.
As boring as it might have been,
Craig,
they're not
brutal.
There for your entertainment pleasure.
I know that.
They're not
know.
There to amuse you.
I know, but it was brutal.
Okay.
It was brutal.
Okay. But it worked. Tied 10-10, both games, Jets and Minnesota. They just churned it out, blew open some big holes in the second half of both those games. It may not be exciting, but it did work.
I hope we're not going to be submitted to that the rest of the season.
What do you want? Do you
want
exciting
more
down the field football?
I want more a well-rounded offense. That's what I want.
Well, they've certainly
you
capable
got
of doing it.
Edelman, right. You got...
I know who they have.
Okay, well, then use them.
All right, so my point being, are they going to try to go back to the passing game with Howard out? Are they going to try to pick on some of those reserve DBs?
They certainly don't have Sue in the defensive line.
He's
gone on to the Rams. And this kid, Brendel, I guess they're very good center. He's out also.
Right. But one of the things that Miami has been able to do in the heat down there, not necessarily up here, is, you know, we know what is the key to beating the Patriots. Rushing Brady with your down three or four linemen.
Well, they got Cameron Wake.
And he can do it. He's done it in the past.
And Robert Quinn.
Right.
If he's healthy, he's all right. He's a good player.
Yeah, and those two guys have had success
down
there against Patriot offensive line. So if you're going to beat Brady, it's a tried and true formula. You got to do it from the defensive line. If you try to blitz, use packages there, Brady's going to beat you. On the other hand, are you still satisfied that Tom Brady in a big game particularly on the road when it comes to the postseason, if, you know, he does have to play either in Kansas City or Houston or one of those places, that he still has the duende to pull out a win.
Yeah, I do.
You do? You're still satisfied?
I am.
Even though his numbers, you know, well, you like to look at the numbers.
Line, don't forget, the offensive line the last couple of weeks was banged up. Right. So as his offensive line goes, so goes Brady. I really believe that.
So you think that all those numbers, which are now are settled somewhere in the middle
of
the
pack. Well, he's not dusting himself off the ground like he was a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, but he's still on pace. Now, it depends on what happens, and it's certainly a good trend over the last couple of weeks. He was on pace to have more sacks than he ever had as a Patriot. But that's changed over the last couple of weeks, and we shall see. And we know that they generally own November, December, and certainly January as well. So you believe that when push comes to shove, if Tom Brady does have to play in Kansas City or in Houston, that he can get the job done on the road, that you don't see any slippage
in his
skills?
Well, I tell you the truth. I also like the way the defense is playing better. I think Hightower seems to have gained some speed again. He's running sideline to sideline. Guy has been very good. They've got some... They got an interesting team this year. It's not a team that's
You just said they were boring.
No, I said the play calling of late has been boring to me.
All right, so boring can mean...
You don't think so.
I don't worry. See, we've had this...
Well, obviously, the bottom line is you want to win the game.
No, winning is exciting.
Yeah, they can win any number of ways.
I don't care how they win.
I didn't hear these airwaves with people jumping up and down and screaming because they beat Minnesota last week.
But this is it was an efficient win. It was an efficient win against the Jets. You know, the Jets always play the Patriots tough, especially down there. In that game, while it was tied at halftime, Patriots dominated after the intermission in both of the last two games.
I give them credit.
All right?
They've won the game.
But you're bored.
I like them. No, I want to see them use. They got all these toys out there on the field. Right. Use them.
Well, we shall see if that happens. But as history indicates, it's not going to be an easy one for the Patriots. Never is down in their personal house of horrors.
I don't know why
South
it shouldn't
FLA.
Be. Tannehill's back at quarterback, but that doesn't...
Hey, he's won down there.
Yeah.
And, you know, we shall see.
13 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, so...
See, for me, if you want to see the Pats in the Super Bowl, I know I've just been banging this drum each and every week, they have to play at home for two games. They cannot go on the road.
We know that.
Right. So you got to have Kansas City
lose. You got to beat Pittsburgh. Boy, how about that Pittsburgh loss last week? Oh, gosh.
I'm trying to think which one was worse
week
before.
Who did they lose to? The Cardinals? Who did they lose to?
No, that was Green Bay, which ushered Mike McCarthy out.
Chargers.
Oh, yeah, they were up by 18 going into the fourth quarter in that game. I didn't see any of that game.
What is going on with
them? But what happened? Chargers were down big going into that fourth quarter, won in Pittsburgh, and the week before – Pittsburgh couldn't beat Denver, where they had that big opportunity. Then James Conner fumbled. They were about to go ahead. So Pittsburgh cannot get a bye. That's out. They're probably going to win their division. And they're still going to be highly motivated next week when Patriots come to Three Rivers.
That's a motivated game.
That's going to be the game of the year. To me, that's going to tell me if the Patriots are serious Super Bowl contenders or not.
And let's see if Tomlin can get his boys up. Right. Hey, we're here for 3 hours today at 617-779-7937. No hiccups. We will talk about the Red Sox. I thought that the Eovaldi signing... 4 years. Have some comments about that, about the Red Sox deciding to go to the White House. I know Craig's all in favor of that.
Can I go too?
And
by the way,
I'd love to go.
But
I would love.
Now, wait a minute. I have one question.
Sure.
I know the Red Sox are going to the White House, but who's going to be there to greet them when they actually do?
George Bush.
George Bush. I think Nancy Pelosi might be there by that time.
Yeah. I'd love to go. You know why I'd love to go? If for nothing else, I'd love to look at the artwork. And the artwork.
Some of the presidential paintings.
Oh, gosh, just some fantastic artwork in there. This is far beyond whether or not you like a particular person there or not. I thought, by the way, just quickly, I thought the George Bush funeral this past week, just for a moment, brought dignity and class back to the office.
Did you say
really do.
Dignity?
Yes.
And president. You put that in the same sentence?
I said the funeral.
Yes.
I thought it was exceptional. I hadn't planned on it, but I ended up sitting there watching it. Mm. I loved the eulogies.
Right.
The singing, the whole thing. I thought it was so classy.
How about that front row? You had Jimmy Carter, George W. Bush. You had Michelle Obama, Barack Obama, Bill and Hillary Clinton.
Clinton kept trying to hold her hand.
Whose hand? Michelle's?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure.
What do you think?
Only you would be noticing that.
What do you think, Jimmy's?
Yeah, I'm not sure. But with Bill, you never know, unfortunately. 617.
He didn't look too bad. No, do you agree with me, though?
What I
regardless
like,
of your politics, everybody understands all that. Yeah, we all have our particular areas that we lean towards.
Yeah, he was. You know what he was? I did not agree with very many of his policies.
Wow, that's
he
a was, surprise.
No, he was. He unfortunately became more conservative to be more viable as a candidate. He was a rare critter in the 60s and 70s. He was a liberal Republican. They still had those back in those days. He moderated his liberal views for viability. And for instance, abortion, which we disagree on, but he was pro-choice. Then he became a pro-life after that, so he could coddle favor with the Republican Party. But he was a decent man. Anybody who met him, Dale Arnold, of course, knew him. Always said what a wonderful person he was. And I don't think we can say that necessarily about the current occupant.
No, and I think even when you talk about the front row.
Right.
There are people sitting there who know or knew what it was like to sit in that chair. You can criticize them and jump up and down on them and do anything you want to do. But the reality is there was a tremendous degree of responsibility. And I thought with the Trump situation, with all these different people in office being let go and investigated and this and that, it was just a nice break.
Right.
And to see a president honored the way he should have been.
Yeah, a friend of mine.
I really did.
A friend of mine visited the White House years ago to visit his son, George W. He did not agree with any of his policies, but he met W. and he was the nicest guy. Hail fellow, well met. They're both great politicians, the two Bushes, 41 and 43, decent individuals. I will never concur with any of the things they did politically, but they were very good people.
But you know what, though? Just quickly, I know we got to go to break and we'll come back, but when in life are people going to understand that we live in a democracy and you're going to constantly have people in office making decisions, and you're not going to agree with them? So what you do is you work very, very hard to make sure the next time around that the person that you support and want and believe in gets in. And I think that's the way we should run it. I think that this constant bickering and hating and fighting and stuff, to me, is just, I don't care what side you support. To me, it is such a turnoff. So, yeah. So the events of the last couple of days with the train and the planes and everything, it brought such class and comfort for a minute to say, because I think the White House needs to go back to that.
Yeah,
I really do.
In an era of division, we were united for a few days, and I think
for
that was
good.
For a few
days, and now we can go back to the mudslinging and everything else.
617-779-7937.
When you come back, I want to know, if you were on the Red Sox, would you go?
Larry, you are a master broadcaster.
Thank you.
Kids, don't try this at home. Mm-hmm. The ultimate tease.
I'm just showing off because I don't have my hiccups.
My answer coming up after this.
When they send him out on sweeps and stuff, he just punishes people.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's just it's got to be a mindset. And, you know, when you play, you know, that's the place where we go. I mean, Buffalo's here, you know, the Jets are here, and Miami's the one that's a little bit different for us always. And I think just playing down there has its challenges. Every team kind of has its challenges going down there. And like I said, they play well at home. I think they use that climate as a benefit to them. Just like we use ours as a benefit to us. We're out there practicing. You know, we're used to, you know, I know exactly how many layers I need to put on per degree, you know, how many heat packs I need, you know, and that's just the way it is. I'm sure they do the same. So us going down there and playing good football is ultimately that's the opponent is the Dolphins and not the climate. And playing a good football game is definitely, you know, what this week's about for us. And we can't expect to go out there and play less than our best and win. And, you know, we should be playing our best. It's that time of year.
Tom Brady, 1-4 in his last five down in South Florida, 7-9 lifetime. He talked about climate, 83 degrees. Not terrible. It depends, I guess, on humidity.
Well, the thing is, the way the sun is usually positioned.
Oh, no, you're not giving me a Danny from Quincy sun angle are you?
I guess it beats down on the visitor sidelines.
Yeah, and if you're used to, particularly now, you played in the Meadowlands 2 weeks ago. You played in New England, although it was kind of balmy last week. It was about 51, 52 degrees in New England in December. That was pretty warm. But it is a shock to the system. As much as you want to head south, everybody's looking for a vacation down in Florida when it gets cold. That's a tough thing to do for a football team that practices in the Northeast, particularly by this time you're used to playing in the Northeast. And, you know, the weather is a major factor.
You know, it's amazing, though, when you look back at this Patriots team, and we're spoiled because every year, at the beginning of the season, we automatically just give them the division. As you look at Buffalo and you look at Miami and you look at the Jets, and one of the things they all have in common is they don't have that five-star quarterback. When you really think about it, they don't. They haven't had since Marino with Miami and stuff, and they haven't. Pennington wasn't bad with the Jets, but they haven't really had that five-star quarterback. And as you and I know, you got to have a really good quarterback in order to make a difference in this league.
Yeah, the 1 year that Brady has played where they didn't win the division or go to the playoffs was 2002. Pennington was the quarterback for the Jets that year. That was the year they beat Miami in the last game of the year, still had a chance to go to the playoffs, but the Jets beat Green Bay at the end of the season, so the Jets actually won the division and the tiebreaker and went to the playoffs. Patriots were out. And the other year, of course, in the Brady era, the Patriots did not go to the playoffs, was 11-5 in 2008. Matt Cassel was the quarterback. Brady was on the sidelines with the ACL. So it is pretty rare, and people have said, and I would highly recommend Alex Spears' piece in the Globe today. I'm not going to break down the numbers for you. Larry's going to have a heart attack.
Why don't you do that in the last hour?
Yeah, exactly. While you work on your hiccups.
Actually, my hiccups are gone. I'm healed.
Knocking on the proverbial wood here.
What are you doing?
I'm just knocking on wood.
Oh, you made me nervous for a minute.
You are healed. You saw the light, didn't you?
I was laying at the pool of Bethesda, and the Lord came along and touched me and healed me.
Because
that is painful.
Yeah, let's go to the Lord of Framingham himself. It's Andy, who is first up on sports radio.
Andy!
What's going on, Andy?
Gentlemen. Good morning.
How are you, young fella?
I'm doing well, guys. Before I go to the Patriots, I want to talk about a little baseball, if I may.
You can do whatever you want to do.
Thank you. I love the Eovaldi signing. Absolutely love it.
What's he, 29?
He'll be 29 before the first season.
He's had some arm issues, but he appears to be over.
Does it make you nervous 4 years?
Excuse me?
Does it make you nervous 4 years?
Not really. I mean, I think...
It's not your money.
I mean, he's 29, he'll be 33 at the end of that contract. Apparently, hopefully the woes are behind him in terms of his elbow. And I think it's a real fine. He's connected with the pitching coaching staff. I can't think of the guy's name. He's a pitching coach. He's a former catcher and not a pitcher. He seems to have tapped into him psychologically. The one thing I want to ask Craig, if I may, I am stunned. Absolutely stunned that Patrick Corbin is going to Washington. I thought he was ticketed for the Yankees.
Well, he did his tour. He visited New York, visited some other teams.
The Phillies, too.
Right. And there was certainly a lot of grousing in the New York media last week when Corbin was not headed to New York. And I'm looking at yesterday's post. It's sitting right in front of me. We have a hard copy. And the back page of yesterday's post, strike two. Yankees pitching targets keep falling off board.
As well.
Thank God they still have Sabathia.
Do you know what the deal was? Did they just offered him 4 years? Was that the
I think they were at, no, I think they offered five. The Yankees, really? The Yankees did offer five. As you know, the Nationals offered six.
Right. $140 million.
And you know what? And I can understand, you know, I obviously the Yankees need to shore up their starting pitching,
right,
particularly
right.
when you're playing in the same division as a team that just won 108 in the World Series. But wouldn't you be a little leery of a pitcher coming, A, from the National League, B, from Arizona? I mean, is he gonna respond to the bright lights?
You mean, well, he's a New York kid. He's not from the city, but he's from the city.
Yeah, but he's from the National League.
Well, I know. I realize
and he's
that
from
as well.
Arizona. Well, you know, it's a whole different world.
Well, you have to trust your scouts.
Right.
You rely on your scouts.
Right.
Maybe looking at his stuff and see if.
See, this is why I think the Yankees should be more upset about Eovaldi. A, they've had him before.
And he was in the American League.
He's in the American League, right, and he's proven it on the big stage. And Corbin's never done any of that.
That's true. I agree with that.
So I think,
who's left out there for them?
I think they're going to have to go with Hap. Jay Hap looks like to be – that's option number three on the free agent list.
I do want to say quickly about the Patriots. For some reason or other, they do fall asleep when they're down in Miami. They need to do something to jumpstart them early in the game. I feel they need to attack Miami early and go after them because this is a big game for Miami. Miami's still in the hunt for the playoffs.
Yeah, and each and every year, for whatever reason, maybe it's just the weather, maybe there's just something hanging over Brady when they go down there. And you talked about it, as I mentioned a few minutes ago.
With the weather, but
they've tried to work, you know, okay, do we show up on Friday? How about Thursday? Maybe Saturday's the best way to do it. How do we approach this game?
They've got to do it mentally. I feel really got to be mentally tough. Psychologically, just go after it. And they, you know, punch them in the mouth early, if you will. And let's see what happens.
I think they need to spruce up the offense a little bit. That would help.
Well, they offensively look a little sluggish against Minnesota, but overall, I mean, they beat a good Minnesota team. They beat them at home. Minnesota's a decent team. They felt they were going to attack them with a running game, and I don't know what he will do in Miami. Belichick is amazing to me, guys. I look at that roster. And I see 10-15 rosters better than this roster, with the exception of the QB. And yet their draft choices, they don't seem to really hit on them. And they got Flowers, I think, in a second round. But they get these free agents. They got Butler. This kid, they got a rookie from Maryland, Jackson. I am just absolutely amazed what he does.
He's the greatest coach in the history of the game.
Now that they got rid of McCarthy.
Just breaking news. Well, you know, McCarthy, I know, sometimes is lampooned as not being, a coach. I think he's criticized a little bit because his quarterback should be winning more Super Bowls if Rodgers is the, quote, most talented quarterback in the NFL – and he's been labeled that over the years in comparison to Brady, you'd like to think that they could have won a couple of more Super Bowls, and that has not happened. Mike McCarthy eventually was going to be the one to blame for that. So we shall see how Rodgers responds in the future with no Mike McCarthy on the sidelines. 617-779-7937. Our buddy Lakar is next from Boston. Hey, Lakar.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Lakar.
How's everything going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Hey, Craig, I want to see you on Facebook next Saturday for my 51st birthday, okay?
All right, I'll be there. That date would be, the 15th?
Yeah, the 15th, that's next Saturday.
You know whose birthday was yesterday, don't you?
Yesterday?
62nd birthday.
Larry Bird.
Larry Bird was
Larry
62
Joe Bird.
Yesterday.
Yeah, it's on the 7th, yeah. I remember that ever since. There was one time they had a game down in Indiana on his birthday when he was playing. Yet from that point, I remember. But I want to ask you all a question about – it has something to do with this guy that got suspended from the NFL with Kansas City.
Hunt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Question. Let's say, for example, if all this stuff was vice versa, what does the league get to do to a woman? I mean,
if the woman had charged him in the hotel area
and
knocked him down,
attacked him, and did something to him that he couldn't play for a while, or he was, say, like, done for the season. Can the league go after the woman, especially if you're on their policy?
I don't think the league would as much as the police department would.
Yeah, that would be the jurisdiction of the Cleveland Police Department. And the Cleveland Police Department is still kind of shaking their heads. Thanks, Lekar.
They're still trying to figure out what happened to the tape.
Exactly. By the way, we were talking about this last week, and a friend of mine who is involved in law enforcement on the college level was talking about this, and it's an important point. And people said last week, and we spent the entire show talking about Kareem Hunt, that you never should lay a hands on a woman. I should have pointed this out, and he did to me after the show last weekend. Let me amend that slightly and broaden it a little bit. You shouldn't be laying hands on anybody. I don't care if it's a man or a woman. Violence should be shunned and eschewed and avoided on any level.
No, but if a guy comes up to you in the lobby,
he throws a punch at you.
What do you say? Thank you.
You know, see, that's the world we live in.
Yes,
retaliation.
Well, we do live
revenge.
In that world, Craig. Okay. Whether you like it
but
or not,
it's sexist to say that women have to be protected.
Well, the weaker.
And yeah, there you go. That's
a reality.
It's sexist.
Why is it sexist?
A friend of mine pointed it out. I should have mentioned it.
Why is it sexist?
Because violence should be condemned no matter who the victim
is.
We
agree with that.
Okay. Be it a woman or a man. And when I hear that, not that I'm disagreeing, of course you should never lay hands on a woman. I just want to broaden it. You shouldn't be laying hands on anybody.
You shouldn't.
The reality,
Governor Dukakis, if somebody breaks into your house...
what are you, Bernie Shaw?
No, yeah. And they break into your house and want to do harm to your family. What are you supposed to do? Lay there and just say, well, I'd like to do something, but I'm not supposed to put my hands on anybody.
If he said, go ahead, make my day, and threw in some funny slogan, I guess he'd be the president. We wouldn't be having that funeral for George W. Bush.
No, what you say is correct. However... everybody doesn't play by the rules.
No, we understand that.
Okay, so what
we
do you
know
do?
We don't play by those rules.
So what do you do?
Tell me what you would do. No, the point, in a perfect world, he shouldn't have kicked a woman or a man.
No, don't change the subject.
No, I just said...
What do you do if somebody breaks into your house?
What about... Larry, you're a biblical scholar, and I don't know the exact passage, but there's something in the Bible about
turning the other cheek. Yeah, but see, that's a beatitude out of Matthew chapter 5.
Yeah,
and the problem with that is, I'm a New Testament person, you're an Old Testament. You're about revenge. No, the problem
you're about violence.
The problem with that passage that people don't understand is Jesus is talking biblical, heavenly living, how we're supposed to be.
Right.
But that we're not.
Okay.
So you still, I'm not going to let you get off of it because you're very Fred Astaire-like.
No, we're saying the same thing.
I'm asking you, what would you do?
We're saying the same.
What would you do?
I personally would not fight back. I was never a fighter.
So you let your wife get raped?
All right. That
Craig, I'm telling you, this is the reality.
Don't
act like this stuff doesn't happen.
The scenario is faulty. It's a specious argument.
Why?
Because I'm talking about if a man hits a man.
I'm asking you a question.
Why don't you answer it? Okay, Larry, listen up.
I know what I do. I get up and find any object that I could find and
that would
split
be
his head open.
That would be you.
I would. I protect my family.
Right. Okay, but I'm just
and what
saying,
would you do?
Okay, so you're saying that.
Oh, the Christmas light's not working.
Okay, so what you're saying is that if Hunt were involved in a fracas in a Cleveland hotel room with a man, he had every right to beat him to a pulp.
No, he didn't. No.
Okay.
Legally, no. He'd still be arrested. No. In fact, the authorities now, they're more concerned about some man he punched in the face. Nobody's condoning that, but I'm saying we live in an imperfect world.
And that's all I'm acknowledging.
And you now, I agree with you. You do everything you can to avoid violence of any sort.
Right. But I think the implication was...
What do you do when you can't?
The implication... Well, he easily could have avoided all violence, be it a man or a woman, in that incident.
If a man comes towards you and he starts punching you in the face, what do you do?
Turn the other cheek.
Okay. And then he starts punching that one.
Okay. I would just turn the other cheek.
So you just let him beat the crap out of you in front of your kid?
Unfortunately, that would be me, yeah.
Really?
No, I just would turn the other cheek and avoid any further violence.
But what do you... If the guy's unreasonable and there's something wrong with him... What do you, and he keeps coming after you.
Again,
what do
I would
you
avoid it. But again, Larry.
Craig, you say avoid it. What do you do?
Because I wouldn't fight back. That's just me.
Okay.
Okay, I'm just saying. I mean, just broadening the conversation.
Governor
from last
Dukakis,
week.
And take that helmet off.
Right. And, you know, I like tanks. Thank you very much. 617-779-7937. Larry's still living in 1988.
No, I tell you one thing that's very fascinating about any of this is. This damn subject is so sensitive that even if you wanted to discuss the woman's role in these type of things, you can't do it. Society, what Stephen A. Smith tried to do that one
Remember,
day.
He was widely criticized.
You can't do it because there are two sides. The bottom line is you can't put your hands on somebody.
My point,
but there
would,
are two sides.
Right. My point,
but you
would
can't
be,
even discuss it.
Right. But my point would be if it were a man saying the things and doing the things that that woman did, he probably would be playing right now in the National Football League because
it's such
a,
man,
a sensitive subject.
If they got into a brawl,
yes.
Oh, I agree with you.
Yeah. Because,
I agree.
Because
look
he,
at the what happened of late. Who's the little guy? The little short black comedian. Who had to remove himself
Kevin
from,
Hart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some words that he had said a couple of years ago that were offensive.
Well, those were words that were highly offensive.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. See, the problem even with that is a couple of years ago they weren't, and they are now. In a comedy club I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, they go after
They were
everybody.
Homophobic comments.
Yeah,
he said if his son were gay— he would beat him to a pulp or something like that.
Yeah.
With something highly homophobic.
I
and
agree
offensive.
With that.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that what was not offensive. We joke about All in the Family and all that stuff. What wasn't offensive 20 years ago? Now you couldn't get
See,
away.
The difference
with.
Was Archie Bunker was we weren't supporting. We weren't laughing with him. Ideally, we were laughing
at him. Yeah.
Because he had foils. He had Mike, he had Sally, even Edith was a foil as well. 617-779-7937 is the number. We are here till 12 noon, and it's Dick and James right here on Sports Radio WEEI. It is Mustard and Johnson, Sports Radio WEEI. We go back to the phones. Hosiah in San Antonio is next on Sports Radio. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, remember the Alamo.
How can he forget he's in San Antonio?
I was surprised how small that was.
Yeah, it's a pretty small place.
It's not as big as you'd think it would be.
So you have a Celtic Comet down there in Spurs country?
Yes, diehard Bruins, Celtics, and Red Sox fan down here. But actually,
you're a Bruins fan?
Yeah, the injuries with Bergeron and then McAvoy's coming back.
But Chara.
Yeah, just quick, I was watching Arbella's early edition yesterday, and they had a segment with Beetle, Trini, and Gary, and they were basically saying that would you undo the trade now, and Tengue was saying he would because they have Tatum and Brown. My question is this, you know that Hayward came back off of that gruesome injury, give the man time to play as far as you can't jump the gun that quick, and then secondly, they said he was averaging like 17 points in his last three games, so I don't know what the panic button is, but a lot of people are acting like they don't want anything to do to Hayward now since he's not playing so hot.
Yeah, see, I don't think you can do that anyway because you don't know, you know, down the road, once you get – you're not even halfway through the season yet, so you don't know when you're going to need him.
Well, obviously, they're feasting on bad teams. They've won their last four in a row by an average of 24 points. He is starting to come into his own. All that panic when they were at 500, if you looked ahead at their schedule – it is a cakewalk.
They're
really,
14-10 now.
Yeah, 14-10. They're four over. They've been beating up teams. I mean, they lost to the Knicks at home. Next time the Knicks come in, they get blown out by 28. They're on a seek and destroy mission against all the teams they lost to. As we said, it's far too early to be worried about a Celtic team. Toronto last night losing to the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, you know, it can
figure
happen.
Figure that out.
Yeah, go figure. So it's way too early. This is a highly talented team. I think it was a good sign. Brown came back for the first time in a long time. They had him off the bench. He scored 21. I think that's a natural place for him. Hayward should be starting. They're going to figure it out. It's a lovely problem to have. How can I use so many talented players? You got 10 players. They're a very deep team. And they will be a force, certainly in the Eastern Conference and perhaps even in the NBA Finals, because as you know, Brad Stevens has had a lot of success against the Golden State Warriors. 617-779-7937. One down, three more to go. Actually, only two more to go. Larry had a heart attack there for a second. Only two more to go. My math is off as usual.
I remember we used to do five-hour shows.
Hey, I remember when you did a nine-hour show once.
Ooh,
with two different people.
With Dickerson.
Well, it was some with me and some with Dickerson.
Yeah.
I did a show. We were snowed in back in the old days.
Why do you mention that?
What?
Snowed in.
No, it's not going to be. Larry, I checked the forecast. You're going to be happy. I checked the forecast because I do like white Christmases, and there is no snow at all forecast until December 26th. So you don't have to worry about any of the parking situation here, because we don't have a parking garage. You don't have to worry about the highways and the back roads on your way here. Because
you don't have to worry about when you leave here. I'll tell you that.
Why? What's the matter?
When it starts snowing, when we get those storms.
You are so paranoid about snow.
I hate
Larry,
it.
Larry, look where you're not living in Florida. Anything, you're not in Hawaii.
I hate anything white.
617-779. We're going to leave that as a punchline. We're
talking about weather. Weather!
Larry hates all white people. You heard it here on Sports Radio, WEI.
His friends are white.